Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns, you know, BBM Bumabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And like I said, go across the nation, thanks to NERS. Otherwise, you can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, or our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Going across the nation, mob, have your say and yarn up strong, and look, a tool for our mob, a voice for our people, so do utilise it and yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Love to hear what you got to say here on the deadly program here, so thank you very much. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Rina McIntyre. Now, Rina is with the New South Wales University of New South Wales, and head of the biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute. And we're talking about her expertise in a lot of areas, emerging infectious disease, infection, biosecurity, biodefense, influenza, adult vaccination, elderly vaccination, epidemiology, outbreaks, epidemic control, pandemics, travel and border control, HPV, and look, many others, especially COVID-19 and the space we're living in at the moment, coronavirus and COVID-19, a world upside down at the moment. But we're going to have a chat with Professor Rina on the line. Professor Rina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, very upside down world we're living in at the moment, and it's about us doing what we need to do regarding the laws in place to contain the virus. So where are we at regarding COVID-19 and so-called vaccine? Is that around the corner?
It's not sort of immediately around the corner, but there's a whole lot of different research groups and as well as a few big pharma companies working on vaccines. So probably sometime next year we may see a vaccine. There's some vaccines already being tested in clinical trials in the UK and the US. So the work is well on the way, but the time it takes to get from testing the vaccines to actually having something approved is a little bit long. And normally it can take 10 years, so this is accelerated. Mm. But even so, it would be about, you know, 12 to 18 months.
So we have we are trying very hard to contain the virus in regard to, you know, staying at home, keeping 1.5 metres away from each other.
Hello?
Hello, you there? Dr. Rina? Professor? No? We'll try and get Professor Rina back. I have just lost her there. Professor Rina McIntyre, and she's with the University of New South Wales, and she is the head of the biosecurity program. Look, a very important conversation that we need to be having with her. Sad news is vaccine is not at the table as of yet, and probably about 12 to 18 months away. And it said the yucky statement there that it could take up to 10 years, and hope that is not the case. But the question I'm putting to it regarding the containing the virus, and that's what we're doing at the moment, doing a pretty good job at that. But like I said, it's good to speak to the professionals and not hearing from so-called leaders who are speaking at the microphone in front of press releases and giving their own opinion. You know what I'm talking about. So it's good to talk to a professional, and that's Professor Rina McIntyre. We'll try and get it back on the airways and continue that conversation. But the rules still apply, you mob, and for us mob, here in Queensland. I'll just go over that, but I've got Professor Rina back on the line. Professor Rina, are you there?
Yes, sorry about that. Don't know what happened.
Last year, the virus have tackled a phone, but it's all good. We've got the vaccine for that. We're yarning up strong now, back on the program National Talk Black. So we're talking about a vaccine that's not around the corner, but containing the virus is now my next topic in regard to the conversation. We are doing our best in regarding containing the virus and by keeping away from each other, 1.5 metres, staying at home. That is the best remedy we got at the moment, yes?
Yeah, unfortunately, the only things we can do are the social distancing, the travel bans, that's helped a lot, the contact tracing and finding everyone who's infected and making sure they're isolated so mm-hmm. they can't infect other people. Those are about the only measures we've got. There's some, you know, in the US they've been recommending face mask use for everyone in the community, mm-hmm. but we're not recommending that in Australia.
Okay, and why would that not be the case? Because that's not the best remedy?
I think the rationale in the US is, you know, they're having a severe epidemic and there's theoretical basis for it being protective if people wear the mask in the society, and it's because you can't tell who's infected, right? Mm-hmm. Because some people will have infection, be able to spread it, but they don't have any symptoms, they don't even know they've got it.
Sure.
So if that's the case, then if they're wearing a mask, it would reduce the risk of other people getting it. Mm-hmm. So, but you'd need at least, you know, 30 to 50% of the population using the mask for it to be effective.
Okay, and the other thing that does come into play is the 1.5 metres. Some are talking 2 metres, some are talking 5 and 10 metres. What's your thought there regarding a distance and socialising?
So the 1.5 metres is an average of what's in the hospital infection control guidelines, which is that doctors and nurses are told to stay 1 to 2 metres away from an infected patient and they're told that's a safe distance. Now, we've actually recently just published some work on that, and that's not based on very good evidence. Probably the distance for safe spatial separation is more than that. However, the general principle is true that the further you are away from someone, the safer it is. So, you know, being 1.5 metres away is better than being right up in someone's face. And this virus can be spread by the respiratory route, you know, so you can mm-hmm. breathe in contaminated droplets or air and get infected. So it is important to keep that distance.
Now, some of the states and territories in this country are looking at lifting the ban regarding the rules that are in place. Is that clear to do that right now, or should we just wait, or and is it all a dark tunnel we're heading down?
So in general, when you lift restrictions, you'll get more mixing between people and there'll be more risk of a second wave. But if you accompany it by expanding the testing and testing everyone who could be at risk, including people without symptoms who might be, say, household contacts, in the case of, say, an Aboriginal community, a small community, if there's a case there, you might want to test everyone in the community,
sure.
the small community, to make sure, you know. At the moment, the national guidelines don't recommend testing of people without symptoms who are contacts or, you know, even on the Ruby Princess cruise ship, for example, they didn't test everybody. They only tested the people with symptoms. So I think that needs to happen. You need to expand the testing and also allow any doctor to order a test if they think it's necessary.
Well, especially when you're talking about, say, remote Aboriginal communities, they're virtually like a stationary Ruby Princess, you could say.
Yeah, and, you know, there's sort of probably a greater risk for Aboriginal people because of the higher risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. And this virus actually has a very profound effect on the cardiovascular system. We're seeing, and we're learning more and more about the virus every day, so it seems like it's very common for people who are infected to have strokes and, you know, blood clots in the leg causing gangrene and heart attacks. So it causes clotting of the blood. And even in children, there's now reports in the UK and in Italy of a rare sort of vasculitis syndrome called Kawasaki syndrome. So it's really not like anything we've seen before, this virus.
So we are still in a dark tunnel, so to speak. The best thing we can do is abide by the rules, do what we need to do, keep washing our hands, stay at home, and just pray. Virtually, that's the best thing we can do at this point in time. Is that right, Professor Rena?
Yeah, and I think Australia's done really well. You know, every other country is looking to Australia and New Zealand as examples of good disease control, so we're fortunate. We just have to make sure that until we get a vaccine, we can manage the situation and prevent any second wave.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team there and your family as well. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon, Professor Rena. Thank you.
Thanks, and to you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. There she is, Professor Rena McIntyre, her name is, and University of New South Wales, and also she's the head of biosecurity program at the Kirby Institute. So look, not good news there in regard to the pandemic here upon us, and we need to do our bit in regarding containing the virus. So do what you need to do, you mob, to contain the virus. Yarn Up Strong here with the Bally Run, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Nakuri, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give me a call and have you say 1-800-422-416, and I want to hear from you and tell us how you're travelling in the world that we're living in at the moment with COVID-19. All right, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Andrew Simpson, a National Head of Wills and Estate Planning, Maurice Blackburn Lawyers, and to a video conferencing to facilitate legal transactions in era of social distancing. On the line, we have Andrew. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Trevor. I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Yeah, so a different world we're living in at the moment, transforming business in different ways. And so you're talking in regarding wills and estate and planning and what have you, video conferencing to facilitate legal transactions. Please explain.
Yeah, well, thanks, Trevor. We are certainly living in a new era of legal practice, and it's created a whole range of challenges across the whole area of the law, but in my area in particular, and that is the wills area. So as you probably know, in order for a will to be valid, it needs to be signed by the will maker in the presence of two independent adult witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with social isolation, that's created a whole range of headaches for lawyers and for will makers, because in most states and territories it's difficult to gather in groups, so we've got rules about how many people can gather, how many people can enter your home and that kind of thing, and that's made getting a will maker in front of witnesses very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about, say, video conferencing, well, look, that could work because the person stating the fact where they who's in the will and what happens with the will, and you have people, well, lawyers there confirming all that, and then we can do the paperwork later via fax or through computer transmitted. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, what you just touched on is exactly what two states have done already. So
okay.
Queensland and New South Wales have both altered the requirements for signing a will to allow for that signing to take place via video conferencing. So you're quite correct. The process allows for the will maker to sign the will and for that signing to be watched by two witnesses via video conferencing.
Mm.
The requirement is that video conferencing is live. So you can't record it and then show it to them later. The witnesses need to be watching the will maker sign live via video conferencing,
and by the verbal statement on the video is virtually the signed contract, you could say.
Well, yeah, and that's another good point. The will maker in signing the document should also confirm that they intend that document is their final will without anything more. And what that does is that gets us over that intention hurdle. That is, the will maker intended that document signed at that moment to be their final will, and then the witnesses can prepare a statement to state that they watched that will being signed. Mm-hmm. They can then even sign a second counterpart copy of that will as evidence that they witnessed the signing. So it's quite progressive. It's novel. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it hasn't been rolled out across the country as a whole. It's only Queensland and New South Wales at this stage that have adopted these changes, but I think it's a really positive step forward, and certainly makes life easier for will makers in those jurisdictions.
Well, if it's a if it can work in two other states, it can work in all states and territories. I mean, in regarding getting business done and protecting the so-called estate by the person giving out the will, yeah?
Correct, yeah. And what's the alternative? The alternative is that people sign wills without witnesses and run the risk that the will is invalid and can be challenged. In some jurisdictions, you can't even have a beneficiary of the witness, so you can't even have a member of your household witness it. So again, that creates a risk that will be invalid. So you're right. If it can be done in two jurisdictions, the laws across the country are similar.
Because otherwise, it's all up in the air, so to speak, in other states and other territories. And New South Wales, Queensland, we're leading from the front, aren't we?
Doing a great job, yeah. No, I wish the other states would follow suit. But look, they may well follow suit, and it really depends on how long we're going to be in lockdown, as to how important this becomes. But it's certainly created some headaches in the short term, and it's a real challenge, particularly for older clients who don't want to leave the house or come in contact with people who might expose them to a health risk.
Now, look, I suppose that we're talking about a very important topic here in regard to people out there who have not got wills, and the world that we're living in at the moment, and we don't know what's around the corner. A will protects you and protects your estate and helps with your planning, yep?
It does. Look, a will is probably one of the most important legal documents that any of us will sign. And if we don't have a valid will, then ultimately what happens is that our estate's distributed according to a formula set out in an Act of Parliament, and we just lose the ability to determine how our estate's distributed. So it's a very important document. Every adult should have one, even if it's simple. But making them in this climate's been a bit challenging, but don't let that put you off. Still get onto it and get it done.
Exactly, working outside the square, and like I said, you know, what happens to you is how we respond to it, and we are responding in the legal way. So fantastic, Andrew. Thank you for sharing. All the best to your firm and your mob there, and look, stay safe and take care. We'll talk soon.
No worries. Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it. All the best.
See okay, bye, Andrew. There it is. Andrew Simpson, his name is, National Head of Wills and Estate Planning with Maurice Blackburn Lawyers, and video conferences to facilitate legal transactions in an era of social distancing. So, yeah, it can be done, needs to be done, your mob. And if you haven't done a will, then do that. Even if you've got a little red Hyundai sitting at home there, you want to pass that on to the right people and that sort of stuff, you know. So do your due diligence and look after your estate and have a plan. We don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan, you mob, so set that plan of attack. Too Deadly, have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the ball here on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trevor, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too Deadly.
Sing about life, sing about possibilities. You know you may be right, you and me will both be free. Talk about life, is anybody listening to the cry of one child? Wait and see, so we try to do it right. Say it's our responsibility. You know you may be right. You and me will both be free. You and me will both be free. Maybe time will tell for you and I. So let's wait and see, so we try to do it right.
Two, three, four.
remember it.
A young stockman used to ride a quiet pony round the countryside. In a native camp, he'd never forget a young black mother, cheeks all wet.
Between her thorns, I heard her say, "Please, man, take my baby away from white man boss, the baby I had. Why they take my baby away?"
Station far away, the boy grew up with a new name. For his mother, he searched in vain. Upon this earth, they never met again.
Gonna Saltwater Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Your mom, give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that number, 1-800-422-416. If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. For your mob here in Queensland, following encouraging signs or flattening the curve, some restrictions will ease in Queensland from next weekend. That's this weekend coming up. Social distancing still applies, but we're giving the green light for some recreational activities, extending the distance you can travel from home. And that's from Saturday, May 2. 2nd of May, and that's you can go for a drive within 50 kilometres of home, ride a motorbike, jet ski or boat for recreation, have a picnic, visit a national park, shop for non-essential items. Outings are limited to members of the same household or an individual and one friend. All rules regarding social gatherings and limits on visitors remain in place. They will also keep closely watch the numbers of new infections and review the measures after 2 weeks. So people must practice social distancing and stay 50 kilometres from home. It's about containing the virus, COVID-19, and we are all doing a bit, so hats off to you, mob. Keep doing it and protect our elders out there, and also look out for elders in regarding shopping and what they need from their household. Have a cup of tea with them, yarn from the fence, and also our mob out there, our disabled brothers and sisters, look after them as well. All right, here's a request going out to Cyrus Neal and Fran Formal. Happy birthday, you mob, from the family Jaraba, and they wanted Coloured Stone Black Boy. And a shout out also to the Cyrus family in WA. Too deadly. Do enjoy. Happy birthday, you mob.
To the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can give us a call, have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, $5.5 million to boost domestic violence services during COVID-19 pandemic. The Palaszczuk government is taking urgent action to support domestic and family violence victims with the immediate injection of almost $5.5 million to help manage and anticipated increase in demand for services arising from COVID-19 pandemic. On the line, we're going to catch over yarn now with Juanita Jewis, CEO, Queensland Indigenous Family Legal Service, and also Tabitha Young, CEO, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Family Legal Service, Southern Queensland. On the line, ladies, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trev. Good, thanks.
Good morning, Trev. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you both for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so as Trev said, I'm Juanita Jewis. I'm a Torres Strait Islander. I've got family connections growing up in the little community of Babinda, which is a sugar town,
mm-hmm.
But I've got family connections from Torres Strait.
Okay, Tabitha?
And we've got connections up Innisfail, Cairns, Chilligo Way, Northern Queensland.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much. So, yeah, $5.5 million funding clues. So, regarding the money coming to the table, ladies, are we finding that domestic violence and family violence has increased because of COVID-19 and because of the restrictions? Is that the case?
Yeah, well, Trev, Juanita here. The work that we do, so we're a not-for-profit legal service, and we provide free legal support and advice to over 50 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities throughout Queensland. We've got five offices in, one's in Cairns, Townsville, Mount Isa, Rockhampton and Brisbane, and then we outreach to the Indigenous communities from there.
Mm.
What we're currently seeing, we haven't seen a spike in our particular service, and in fact, we're seeing applications are going down.
Well, that's a good thing.
To give you a bit of an example. Yeah, well, it could also mean that people are just not reporting.
Okay.
And that they're just living through the violence. Just to give you a bit of an example, prior to COVID and the restrictions, we would be receiving between 12 to 15 DV applications over a fortnight, but currently now we're seeing between 2 to 3 applications. And even the court listings, we're seeing a decrease in those matters coming across the court listings, you know, from the areas that we service, from Cairns through to Brisbane, and that's both private and police applications.
So, Juanita, it could be a silent pandemic, so to speak, pardon the puns, in regard to domestic violence that's not going, not being reported as such, yes?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we look at these communities that we service, they're actually in lockdown now as it is. So you've got limited services initially, but with the COVID restrictions, those services that are not coming in, because a lot of those are fly-in and fly-out services. You don't have your courts travelling into those communities.
Mm.
You don't have other legal services or additional health and support services coming in. So those communities are further isolated. There's nowhere for them to go or to report to. And police are stretched as it is now.
Mm. So in a way they say no news is good news, but it may not be the case in this space.
Mm. I agree, yeah.
Okay, and regarding the $5.5 million injected by the Palaszczuk government, how would this money be spent as such?
Did you want to respond? It's around the immediate response to sufferers of family violence, you know, those that are at risk. So it's like crisis accommodation, housing, counselling, and those DVs. Specialist services that provide that crisis support to sufferers of domestic and family violence.
Okay, and so with the for our victims, the accommodation, support, finance, security, all the above.
Yeah. Did you want to speak something?
Tabitha, were you? Add to the conversation, girl.
Much the same, yes. There is accommodation and support services all within our service region. But what we're finding is that, you know, our families are staying home. They're not accessing that support for the accommodation to leave the, you know, the home to safety to protect the children.
Mm.
So, you know, the financial boost by the state government, you know, we could use that on the front line
sure.
to support our families, get them safe, you know, so the police then can go in and do their jobs and deal with the perpetrators.
Mm.
But we're not seeing that currently at all.
Sure.
they're staying in the homes. And that's a real big concern for Wenedra and I in our for our communities.
Yes. Well, we're talking about perpetrators being forced into isolation with their victims.
Yes. Exactly.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it just puts a greater risk on the family. And that's why I see and I feel that it's more that they're not reporting. They're just living through this violence.
Mm. But because of the so-called COVID-19, the rules upon us and regarding staying at home, you know, offices and companies and government organisations some way are closing down skeleton staff. So the support is not there at the moment. Is it fair to say that?
There's a reduction in that reduction. Support. That, those avenues where sufferers could, you know, freely access before and feel comfortable in reporting to, they've been removed from them. Or it's limited, like you said, you know, there's a skeleton structure.
It's a skeleton
structure. Yeah. What we've done, because we've reduced, obviously, with the COVID measures, our service, so we've had to change our service delivery model, and we're no longer providing face-to-face services.
Yes.
So we've moved to voice or video calls. But we've also, with our support staff, really pressed upon them to, it's like a community care plan, so we've asks them to reach out to the communities and the service providers and just touch base with them on a regular basis.
Yep.
So like a check-in, is there anything else that we can do? Even if it's just referring them to another service.
Sure.
But just so that they feel like they've got a bit of a linkage.
But the sad thing is too, we've been talking about isolation. Well, like I said, victims are isolated with the so-called perpetrator.
Restriction.
Yeah, that's right, restriction. Yeah, but with the perpetrator, finding it hard to make that call as well in regarding support or help or in need,
That's exactly right.
So,
No, I was just going to say, some of those even shelters, you know, depending on whether or not they're even still operating and functioning in some of these areas as well because of the COVID restrictions.
Exactly.
They've had to change their service delivery as well. And so, again, that's just further then reduced, you know, avenues or ways for victims and sufferers to flee the violence.
And also Wenedra, I think we can add to that that sometimes it's a couple hours drive or more between towns.
Of course, for communities,
So accessing support for our mob has got that barrier as well on top of that. So victims will stay home. And it creates all sorts of further issues, not in with just domestic violence. We then have child protection going on as well. In that.
So it looks very important that money like $5.5 million coming to the table, it helps keep a robust service available and to support our victims. And I suppose the message that while we're talking here, National Talk Black, message to all our sisters out there, to protect themselves, protect their children, make that call. Do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. And if it means escape from the house, or perpetrate to sleep or whatever case may be, need to do what we need to do, support our sisters out there,
That's exactly right, And reach out to services like us. You know, like we're not a crisis service, but we can definitely refer, people contacting us to those right linkages, those right support services to assist them.
Yeah, look, a very important space, and love and respect to women and our children out there. And when you look at the so-called restrictions and place isolation, it forms pressure on every individual, still no excuse for domestic violence, family violence. I understand that. But when you're talking about four walls are closing in, man point of view, not being, no job, no money coming in, it's supposed to be the man of the house supporting, guiding, but still no reason for family violence and domestic violence. But our women need to reach out if you're in that space and to keep yourself safe. Best be safe than sorry, make the phone call.
That's exactly right, And I think with this $5.5 million injection of money, like Tabitha said, we welcome that. I think the response, though, for our more remote communities or our rural and remote communities needs to be different to those in more in the metropolitan areas.
True.
Where there are more additional services. Like we've got, our communities, which you would be aware of, Trev, they're in lockdown.
Exactly.
So even then, just removing a victim from the community, there's the practicalities around that.
Well, exactly.
It's very difficult. It's not just a simple solution. So
the message is we are here for you, for our ladies and our children out there.
Yep.
And reach out, we'll reach back. That's the most important message we can deliver.
That's exactly right.
Ladies, thank you very much. A very important yarn, a very important discussion. Fantastic money coming to the table to boost at the space that you're living in and you're working in. But all the best to you. Thank you, ladies, very much. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay safe. And look, we'll yarn soon. Winnetta, Tabitha, thank you very much.
Thanks, Trevor.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Winnetta Jewis, CEO, Queensland Indigenous Family Legal Service, as well as Tabitha Young, CEO, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Family Legal Service, Southern Queensland. So, look, doing their bits in regarding looking after our women, our children out there, and supporting domestic and family violence and their victims is what we're talking about. And money is the tool in supporting that space. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yarn with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. 1-800-422-416. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. Beautiful track there, Arifura C, Saltwater Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Now, I said we're living in a different world thanks to COVID-19, but it's about adapting to the world that we're living in. That's what I know what happens to you in life, how you respond to it. Australian musicians to showcase work in weekly online concerts whose live performances have been cancelled during the COVID-19 pandemic will have the opportunity to be heard by the world via online streaming at Monash University. And look, we're going to catch up with Kylie Aldous, who will be performing on Wednesday, May 13. And Kylie has been described as the high priestess of Melbourne soul and is one of Australia's most respected, accomplished and versatile performers with a truly joyous on-stage presence. And we got her online. And very good morning, Kylie. How are you?
Hello, Trevor. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based in Melbourne, yes?
I am, yes.
Fantastic.
Raining, pouring rain here, freezing cold.
Freezing cold. Sunshine up here in far north Queensland.
Is it different?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Look, a local call to heaven from here. Don't worry about that. Priestess, you are. Look, fantastic to have you on the program and talk about the space you're living in, working in, and regarding COVID-19 and music. But now we've got technology that can, of course, help put the music out, the message out. Tell us about the space that you're working in there.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to change things. I mean, obviously, when all this started, none of us have left the house since then, and so none of us have been in the same room as our band.
Yes.
So it's been really sad for the venues, obviously, for everybody that's working. Like, so anybody who is making, you know, hand-to-mouth money from gigging is really suffering now. But then I wonder, so now that when we see these beautiful concerts, which I watched Alicia Joy last night doing the concert from the beautiful space at Monash, and it was so nice. I was in my own home. I'm on my couch. I've got, you know, I wonder if anyone's ever going to go out again. Because, you know, like, if you stay home in your couch and watch a beautiful show, why would you go out?
Well, so if the music is the essence of love, then play on. Exactly, that's what you guys are doing and using social media. So tell us about that concert that's coming up.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty excited because, as I said, like, this is the first time I will have got together with one of my musos, Warren, who's a fantastic player. We wrote a new album together, and I'm being very, you know, lucky to be invited by Monash to come and perform in that beautiful space. It gets streamed out around the world. That's on Wednesday the 13th, and we're going to do, I think we do like almost an hour of songs, and I'm going to do I usually perform with a 7-piece band, you know, or a drummer, bass, guitar, keys, and my singer, my sister who sings with me as well. But this time, because we can't have very many people, I just try to get as much bang for my buck. So I'm getting Warren to play Ableton, which is, you know, he plays all the songs via a computer. He uses from the songs and manipulates them to, you know, basically be a one-man band.
Yep.
Computer, because the stuff I'm doing is sort of dance music.
Sure.
New stuff I'm doing. So, yeah, it doesn't sound as good with just a piano, if you know what I mean, even though there's a beautiful piano in there. But it's going to be basically a dance music. So, yeah, people can get their dance clothes on and
shake booty.
People will be dressing up to go out to the bins. They can, like, put their dress-up clothes on and have a dance.
That's fantastic. Like I said, it's about adapting to the environment that we're living in at the moment and looking outside the square, and that's exactly what you guys are doing. So this is going to be your first, like, online concert, you could say?
Yeah, I think. Mm. Well, I did a very small, like, 2 songs for Record Store Day with my friend. He recorded himself on the computer and he sent it across, and then my son held the computer and my husband held the phone and they recorded me in the house. See, everybody's making do, aren't they? But
while cooking toast and baked beans.
Yeah, exactly.
Versatile.
But this one, I'm actually going to leave the house. I'm so excited.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, beautiful congratulations and all the best. And, look, hope it goes well. And people can go online and check that out. Do you know the web or how do they do that, M Live Concert?
M Live. Do they do it through? I watched it last night via Facebook.
Okay, well, so that can be done.
Yeah, you just go on. It takes you through to YouTube, I think.
Sure.
But it was like, Trevor, I'm a mum and I don't.
Thank you. And like, I'm the radio man. That's what I know nothing about computers. Fake it till you make it.
I know. If you can find a teenager, you ask them.
Exactly. Get your 6-year-old out of here. How do I go online? But you just Google it, I suppose. Hey, isn't that the case, Kylie?
Yeah, M Live, Monash University Live. And it's got a big M in it, Live, in black writing against white. And you go on there and it takes you to a link and you click on it and it takes you in and you can even comment while I'm singing. You can even stay and ask questions afterwards. And you know, it's weird because everybody, I think for comedians and for music, there's no clapping. You know, at the end, and then when music.
Dead silence. So did you like it? Please tell me.
Text me.
Tell me how good I was.
It's going to be funny. All the comedians out of 2020 are going to think they're so funny, and they're not.
And they're not. There you go. Yeah, I'm kicking goals. No, you're not. Look, fantastic. Nice sharing with you. And look, all the best to you, my sister. And we'll talk soon. Stay safe and stay deadly.
Thank you so much, Trevor. So lovely to speak to you all. Stay safe there in Cairns, everybody.
Oh, lovely. Bye, Kylie. Two deadly beautiful yarn there with Collie Audis, her name is, and she'll be performing Wednesday, May 13th, and you can check that out, M Live, and or Google, or do what you need to do. You get your 6-year-old in there to put you online and check out that fantastic program. So do that and check out music playing. It keeps us entertained, and to all our musos out there are struggling in this space, and we need to support them any way we can. Have your say, Yarn Up Song, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black. Got about 4 minutes left in the program. We've got Selwyn. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. Our brother, you know, like black fellas and white fellas, we have a difference, brother. But we are not all one-dimensional people. We're not all yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. We are skeptics and we think.
You there?
I did read or didn't read on our local show. It starts like after 1 o'clock. But I want to do it again. I want to tell the story about for the national listeners about Warren Inch, and he came on the show. He's a federal minister for LICA, and he used the word accident. And it's not coincidental that new apps coincide with the lifting of restrictions, and he used the word accidental. But I want to read a quote by Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was a president from 1933 to 1945. And this is a bit of food for thought. In politics, nothing happens by accident. If anything happens, you can bet it was planned that way. And that's what I want to put my little bit about this. It just happened that apps come at the same time. The restriction lifted. I'm going off to bottom of English soon, brother. I'm going to chase up this money from the stolen way to Dan's piece and open up all the stuff about the stolen way for my mum.
Yes.
And I think one of the things I can be sure of, we all get that money because the government has to go broke. They have to bring in this new digital system. And I think the Christians will be saying everything's on track. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you have a number of beasts. So then you're never pretty stoked. So everything's on track. We're going the way that, I don't know, Revelation. I don't hear anybody talking. I'm hearing them.
No, exactly.
Yeah, alternative view, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. You take care. That's someone there, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Look, Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Before your local Mob, stick around. Trinity Trevor will take you right up to 1 o'clock, a special COVID-19 program, and we can converse and yarn about how you're travelling in the space that we're living in at the moment. But your Mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Most importantly, stay safe, and look, we'll be yarning soon. Thank you very much for your company, National Talk Black.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Suffering from the past.